This podcast is brought to you by Recontract, the leading software to automate your reconditioning process and streamline your entire used vehicle management process. Visit recontract.com to learn more. That's recontract.com.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Thursday, April 11th, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, Executive Editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, CarMax sees income drop in the fourth quarter. New vehicle inventory is the highest it's been since 2020. And Ford cuts the price of the F-150 Lightning. Plus, a look at what dealership construction can tell us about how retailers are trying to adjust to the EV transition.
We do get a lot of calls to install EV chargers at the dealers' stores. It's an invasive procedure, it's expensive. None of the dealers have enough electric to run them, so they always generally have to upgrade their service. So it's a significant investment for the dealer.
Sam Rockaway of Redcom Design and Construction joins us in a few minutes. But first, let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
CarMax says it earned $50 million in net income in the fourth quarter. That's a drop of 27% from a year earlier. Revenue for the used vehicle retailer fell 1.7% in the quarter to $5.6 billion. CarMax also said it sold more than 172,000 used vehicles in the period, up 1.3% year over year. Same-store vehicle sales were effectively flat. For the full fiscal year, it retailed about 766,000 vehicles, down 5.2% from the year before.
New vehicle inventory in the U.S. continued to climb in March. According to Cox Automotive, it reached its highest point since December 2020. Cox says inventory stood at more than 2.8 million in its latest estimate, representing a 74-day supply. That's up slightly from the previous month. A year earlier, it was 1.9 million vehicles, so it rose 35% over the past year.
Ford is slashing prices on its electric F-150 Lightning pickup as much as 7.5%. The cuts come as Ford prepares to resume deliveries this month following a halt earlier this year over an undisclosed quality issue. The cuts started on April 5th. They partially reversed price hikes in January as Ford was reducing production of its signature electric vehicle by half and eliminating a shift of workers. The biggest reduction is on the Flash extended range model, which is now $5,500 cheaper. It now starts at about $68,000.
And Stellantis is restructuring its U.S. business center operations, going from 9 locations across the country to 6. The automaker hopes the move will strengthen dealer support. The company says it has laid off 30 employees this week as a result, but that the decision was not driven by a need to cut staff. Stellantis has more than 2,600 dealerships in the U.S., each of which interacts with field staff from the business center serving its region. And those are today's headlines. Jamie, new vehicle inventory in the U.S. continued to climb in March. Jamie, is it really a climb or are we just getting back to pre-pandemic levels?
It seems like a little bit of both. It's continuing to climb back toward those pre-pandemic levels. We would really like to see inventory kind of level out and even out here in the industry and stop gaining, but all the projections are that it will continue to increase throughout the year and may go all the way back to the levels seen before the pandemic, when really dealers had a hard time making money on new vehicles. They mostly made their money in service and parts and other areas. Hate to see it go back there, but if no one wants to lose market share, everyone keeps trying to push for it. They get the cars out there and then have to try to sell them. So here we are.
There you go. Coming up, Redcom's Sam Rockaway joins us to talk about the state of the dealership construction industry and what it says about the transition to EVs. That's next on Daily Drive.
The EPA has finalized its tailpipe emissions rule. The agency now projects that battery electric vehicles will account for 30 to 56% of new light-duty vehicle sales in the 2030 to 2032 model years. We want to hear from you.
What do you think of the new rule? How will it affect your business? Send us a voicemail, text, or email. You might hear your comment on this week's Weekend Drive episode. Here's how you can get in touch.
Call us and leave a voicemail or text us at 313-444-2774. Again, that's 313-444-2774. You can also record your voice on your smartphone and send it to dailydrive@autonews.com. That's dailydrive, one word, at autonews.com.
And tune in to our Weekend Drive episode, available Saturday morning.
Managing your used inventory is not exclusive to one person or one part of the dealership. What does the communication look like between sales and service? Are your vehicles getting passed from trade-in to recon with no hiccups? What is your average cycle time to get a used car frontline ready? There is a lot to keep track of all at once. Right now, you could be experiencing three major issues with your recon information causing process breakdowns. One, lack of visibility into recon pricing to inform the appraisal process. Two, no access to that appraisal information when working through recon approvals. Three, missed information and process bottlenecks trying to manage a vehicle across multiple systems and tools. Full insight throughout your entire process is crucial to making your used car department the most efficient and profitable it can be. Recontract combined with AutoVision creates an end-to-end tool for your used car department to address these breakdowns. With access to live appraisal information and reconditioning approvals, you get a single view of every vehicle with all the data you need right in one place. Make more educated decisions on your used car inventory faster with all your data easily accessible at any stage. Visit info.recontract.com/autovision for more information. That's info.recontract.com/autovision.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. We've seen some public battles between dealers and automakers in recent years. A recurring theme is the transition to electric vehicles and what brands expect from their retail networks to sell those new models. For builders who specialize in dealership construction, they're getting an up-close look at that and other trends related to dealer investments in 2024. Sam Rockaway is Vice President of Sales at Redcom, a commercial general contractor based in New Jersey. He joins me now to talk about dealership construction trends. Sam Rockaway, welcome to Daily Drive.
Hi, Jamie. Good to be here.
So I understand that you do a lot of work with dealerships and their facilities upgrades. You know, when I was a young reporter, this was a constant point of conflict. You know, the manufacturers saying, we need nicer stores. We need you to have this kind of tile. We need these specific requirements. And the dealers pushing back and saying, you're wasting my money. This isn't effective. What's the status of facility upgrades? Is this mostly manufacturer driven or how's the market working?
Good question. See, most of it is manufacturer or OEM, as we call it, driven. The brands, the OEMs, like the dealers to have upgraded facilities. So the customer experience is pleasurable. It's all about the customer from the OEM standpoint. And they do push those image facility upgrades.
Yeah. Are there brands that are more aggressive than others? Who's leading the way these days?
I think the last 12 months, Hyundai has been really leading the way. Hyundai, as you know, they've come out with a lot of nice models of cars. They're doing fantastic. They're definitely a competitor to be reckoned with, and they want their facilities to match their image.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The other one I hear a lot from is Mazda. They've been really advocates for having nicer facilities to match their current lineup.
Yep, Mazda, Kia, and all Mazda, Kia, and Hyundai all have expensive designs. A lot of folks come to me and say, this is not a Mercedes dealership. And I'm like, I wish it was. You would have probably saved some money. They have a conservative design, but the Hyundai, and they have beautiful design. We just finished a 20,000 square foot ground up Hyundai store in New Jersey. It came out beautifully, but it looks really amazing. We did not design it. The brand designed it, but it's a beautiful facility.
Do a lot of the designs come from the manufacturer? I mean, I know they have really specific guidelines, but how much do you have to accommodate for, you know, local building codes or just to fit the geography? Or is it all, does it mostly like come to you straight off the shelf?
No. So each brand has design intent documents. So it's a kind of a catalog that's an 11 by 17 book that's about 2 inches thick that has all the finishes and the signs and the criteria that the dealer is going to need to put their store together. But you do have to hire an architect. And although the building may look the same as every other building, the sites are all different. And the sites really dictate what you can build on that site. So if they want a rectangular shaped dealership and the site is a triangle, you got to make sure that rectangle fits in a triangle. So it may not be a true rectangle, to put it in the simplest terms. And then the other piece is how the dealer runs his business. So each dealer runs his business or their business a different way. And that influence or how they run their business dictates, again, where the cashier is going to be, where the parts are going to be in relation to the service, how many cars are going to be in the showroom. As long as they hit guide, there's some flexibility on that.
Interesting. I'm curious, you know, in how higher interest rates are influencing dealers' decisions on upgrades and facilities investments. Is it a significant headwind like it is for, you know, home buyers these days?
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it's the same circumstances for two reasons. The brands offer financing to the dealers to get through these hurdles. So the dealer doesn't have to go through the traditional route of applying for a construction loan. They can, and some do, but some don't have to, and they can go through the brand, which makes it a whole lot easier. Or they go through the bank that carries their floor planning, and it makes it a little bit more attractive to them. So I don't think they have the same constraints as a home buyer or someone in the commercial market.
I would imagine after these extraordinary profits during COVID times, some of them just have the money in the bank and can write you a check. They don't have to borrow from anybody.
That's true. Yeah. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I would say more than half my car dealership clients pay for their projects in full in cash without any financing. And they range between $10 and $20 million.
And it's more paying in cash now than 5-10 years ago.
They've always had the ability to pay cash. It's just been consistent with me.
Interesting.
They do well.
Yeah.
They're a big
It's a great business.
Engine.
I mean, yeah. I'm curious, you know, especially as the market, you know, returns to more normal economics where maybe the new cars aren't generating such big profits, not selling for above MSRP. Is there a greater emphasis on service departments? Maybe dealers trying to have bigger service departments, knowing that's going to be a bigger source of their profitability going forward?
Yeah, I think so. I think to a certain extent. I know that each time you get your car serviced, the OEMs randomly send customer surveys out to some of the dealers' customers. So those surveys are very important. One of the questions on the surveys are, what do you think of the facilities that you're in? So if they don't get a 5, the scale is a 1 to 5, if they don't get a 5, that survey goes right to the dealer and right to the brand rep for him or her. And they're taken very seriously. They're incentivized through those surveys. And if they're not coming back in 5s, the brand rep and the brand's going to start trying to push on facilities and so forth and try to get them to upgrade them. And also with the cars, there's really not a lot of maintenance. 20 years ago, you had to change spark plugs, distributor caps, and so forth. And today it's really just the fluids, oil, and filters. And you're pretty much done for, you know, up to 100,000 miles on most models.
As long as you don't need any sensors adjusted or the computers, goodness, that gets into some heavy stuff.
Yes, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
Dealers have really been struggling in recent months with EVs. Mostly just an inventory issue and maybe a mismatch with what consumers want. But I'm curious on the facilities side, do EVs present any special challenges in terms of, you know, wiring or just service bays and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, you need a special lift. I mean, the lifts have a weight capacity. I don't recall what they are, but you need a special lift because the EV batteries are maybe 7,000 pounds. I don't know the exact number, but they're very heavy, so they have to have special lifts. And then they need to charge up the batteries. And so when we do get a lot of calls to install EV chargers at the dealer's stores, and it's an invasive procedure, it's expensive, and none of the dealers have enough electric to run them. So they always generally have to upgrade their service. So it's a significant investment for the dealer. There's really no return on an investment for, you know, in the near 4 to 6 years for the dealer. And it's just a challenge, but they're all doing it, whether they're happy about it or not, but they're all doing it.
Yeah. You mentioned also some challenges with storage of batteries, if they needed to store that. Can you give that example?
Yeah. So, you know, as I walk through dealerships to look at their facilities, you go through the service bays and you see 3 to 4 batteries laying around on the floor. And hey, why are they there? This car is brand new. And well, there's a recall or it's not working right. They replace them. And although they replace them and the customer's back in their car driving around, what do they do with the battery in the meantime? So there's really no where to safely store the batteries. And they're worried about the batteries just catching on fire. If they catch on fire in their building, they can't be put out easily. And it's a problem. And there's no local code from a building standpoint or fire. At least there wasn't, you know, 2 months ago here in New Jersey on how to erect and safely house batteries on sites. So there's no clear answers on what to do.
Yeah, so many challenges that no one ever thought of before. Well, Sam, thanks so much for joining me. Sam Rockaway is Vice President of Sales at Redcom Design and Construction. Really interesting, fun conversation.
Thank you for having me. Look forward to talking again.
That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News Coordinating Producer Jake Neer, as well as our own CJ Moore, Larry Valquette, and Vince Bond Jr. for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on retail, earnings results, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back tomorrow for a conversation with Tom Drzezinski, Service Director at West Her Auto Group, about how the store is trying to attract more women to work in its service department.
Being able to communicate with a wide range of personalities, be able to show some empathy, be able to quickly connect with that customer, have their best interest in mind. I just think that they do a great job with some of the things that are not teachable.
We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.